Good morning. See, first of all, I'd like to thank Shinko Sensei for inviting me down here. It is indeed a great pleasure on many different levels, and it's just wonderful to see you guys practicing. You know, doesn't matter where you go, there's always people that practice. And just remember, you know, the same time as you're sitting here is that there's people in the U.S. that are doing the Rohatsu session, the Buddha's Enlightenment session, and also in Japan and various places around the globe. It's not just an isolated thing. Now, with sitting or meditation, I don't know how you approach it. I've got a ballpark idea. So this first talk will be a bit like fishing in the dark. We'll find out where you're coming from. And over the course of sitting together, working together, eating together, then we'll see how the talks can be tailored somewhat to encourage. Because really, the talk's just here to encourage. I can't teach you anything. It's what you receive. You know, how you take things and how you apply them. Remember, nothing is really yours until you apply it. That's one of the beauties of the Zen school. It doesn't rely on ideas. You know, Bodhidharma, who was the so-called founder of the Zen school, whether he historically existed or not, did a definition of Zen, which is an intimate teaching. An intimate teaching beyond words and phrases, directly pointing to the mind, realizing one's true nature. So that's the core of Zen. So an intimate teaching, that's what's going on now. You know, it's not some other time or other place. Intimate, it's what you feel. It doesn't mean that it's only there when you're feeling peaceful. It doesn't mean it's only contingent on whatever circumstances you're in. The one who sees through these eyes is always awake and aware. This is the very Buddha in itself. So, an intimate teaching beyond words and phrases. You know, the trees teach, the ground teaches, the people around you teach. Whenever you're in a circumstance, that's a teaching in its entirety. So it's important to be receptive, to be able to accept those teachings in whatever way they come. Directly pointing at the mind. So that's the thing. It's been pointed at, so then how do you take it? How do you use it? You know, this is it. This is the teaching right now. To quote a cliche, you know. But that cliche, really, you have to make it yours to make it real. You know, this is it. You know, it couldn't be another way. Why? Because it isn't. This is the way it is. How do you swallow that whole? And then spit out the bones, as Meizen Miroshi would say. So how do you swallow this? And the last part, realizing one's own true nature. Well, when we talk about realization, Kensho, Satori in the Zen tradition, it means to make real. It doesn't mean to see something else. It means how much can you really be this, totally, thoroughly, through and through, realizing, making real. Master Dogen in his teaching, who's the foremost proponent of Shikan Taso, or just sitting meditation, not that he only did that, he did 9 years of koan study. His core teaching was to practice realization. Again, it doesn't mean the realization to come. It means practice this over and over and over until we stop practicing futurizing how it's going to be when we become, which is the main disease of the human being. It doesn't matter what religion you look at. You know, If you want heaven, then make it the place that you stand. Don't wait for it to come in the future. So, you know, this is the core tenet of the Soto school. It also appears in the precepts. There's a very simple line in which, say, Shinko Sensei will say to you, "Will you maintain this?" And, you know, each one of us goes, "Yeah, I will. I will." You know, but it doesn't mean just maintaining, say, "I will not kill, I will not steal," etc. It means, "Will you maintain this?" And over, that occurs. Now, as human beings, we tend to overlook this. We tend to sort of look at geniuses and go, "Well, it's going to be easy for me too." You know, so you look at Jimi Hendrix and I'll be able to play guitar like that, but I'm just going to play it twice a week. You know, or as Arnold Palmer said. Somebody asked him, "You're really lucky to be able to play golf like that." And he said, "Well, the more I practice, the luckier I become." You know. So the thing is, as human beings, is that we actually get better at things by practicing it. We become more fluid at it. You know, we say in Zen that you attain nothing, but there's the whole basis of Buddhism, which talks about the Tathagata Buddha, the one who has attained to thusness. This is what there is to attain. Again, the flip side to that is that quite often when we sit, things become difficult. We may fantasize about things. Fantasy is just a safety valve. It isn't reality. Make sure that's the first thing you clarify. The reality, this, and fantasy are two different things. It may be occurring simultaneously in this place, but make sure that you don't mix those two things up. Allow your mind to settle. That's why, again, in the Zen tradition, not only in the Zen tradition, in other traditions, is stillness, silence, very basic things are emphasized. People take them as externals, like, "Well, be still. Well, somebody's trying to enforce me to be still." No, the thing is, if you physically sit still, that begins to move into your mental processes. Again, the process of Zen is a shift from trying to work this world out, a mental process. Trying to shift from that mental process, you know, "I want to see the meaning of life," to experiencing the meaning of life. And you may find in that process is that you will really see that you can't work this out in your mind, in your own head. And that the experience is always going on. You don't even need to interfere with it. You can just allow that to occur moment by moment. As you do, I mean, just try it. Do you have to do anything to be? Do you have to work out your raison d'etre to be? I'm asking you, you know. I mean, this will help you in terms of refining your own effort. If you allow yourself to be, it becomes a lot easier rather than trying to become. That being, that stillness, begins to then permeate all activities that occur. It's not that somebody is, say, enforcing stillness on you. It's giving you the gift of being still in yourself. It begins to permeate through. You don't even need to do anything with your own head. That stillness through sitting will begin to just permeate through. Not everything is learned cognitively in this life. You know? Again, is that like Arnold Palmer or Jimi Hendrix, is that a lot of what they did, they may have been told how to play guitar, but 99.9% of it was actually physically manifesting what they learned. And then doing it until it was embodied, not just thought up in one's own mind. Is that in many ways, after 40 some years of practice, is I know far less about practice. But practice takes care of itself. That's the beauty. You know, to live is to practice. To breathe, the breath goes in, the breath goes out. The meaning of life is in the living of it in itself. Somebody came to me in the session we had a week or so ago, And don't think I do this every week, I don't, but we had one about a week or so ago. And you said, I don't have a purpose in life. You know, what do you want to do? Do you want to be like Mother Teresa or Gandhi? You know? Or do you want to just see that the purpose is in your life, living in itself? The beauty of living. You don't have to look like something or be something. You have your own talents. You have your own drawbacks. Practice is to develop those talents. It's to work on those things that get in the way. The problems that we have as human beings, our quirks. You know, Mazumi Roshi would say, you know, my job is to, if I see anything sticking up, it's my job to cut it off. You know, it sounds very nice, doesn't it? But that's what you did. It's not my job to make it easy for you. You know? But for each one of us is that when you see something that doesn't quite work in your environment, you know, in yourself, your interactions, try something else. Don't just keep on doing it the same way and expecting a positive result. Try different things. Communicate. You know? Zazen is communication. You know, we get to know each other on a deeper level just by sitting together. We don't have to talk. We don't have to know our person sitting next to us' history. You know, we learn something on a deeper level. Working together, we learn something more. Again, is that communication is going on all the time. So again, we don't have to know somebody else and where they're coming from on that level. So practice, again. It works on a lot more levels than we really think that we're aiming for in terms of doing. Now, we've got, probably about 4 days together. Now, it's important in these 4 days, the main criteria of Zazen is wholeheartedness. It doesn't matter if you do it for a day, one period, 4 days. The important thing is you immerse yourself in whatever you're doing. That practice of wholeheartedness or immersion is the very thing that carries you through your life. If you, you know, sort of avoid things, you don't sort of enter into it and learn from it, that carries through into all of the other activities. So whatever it is that you do during this session, you know, even if it's resting, do it wholeheartedly. Do it complete and thoroughly. I remember Mazumi Roshi was once asked by somebody who said, I'm too lazy, I don't know if I can really do this practice. And Mazumi Roshi said, the problem is you're not lazy enough. You know? Just be thoroughly lazy, don't let anything come in, don't even judge yourself on those levels, just really be there. If you're lazy at that point, really do it. Use the energy that you have, explore it. It can't be another way because it isn't. See what that is. Use it. Then when you work, you know, immerse yourself in that work. Look at the people around you, see how you fit in, work with that. Immerse yourself. Learn something in that process. The reason that I'm saying that this kind of thing is your life. If you have that, nobody's going to do this for you. If you're doing something, it's your life. You may have all kinds of comments about it. Remember a session ago, somebody says, should I listen to music while I'm doing dishes? And I'm saying, well, you can do that kind of thing, but you're not really learning. You're assuming that what you're doing is menial, when what you're doing is your life. You know, you're doing your life. If you make a choice and you want to do something, it is your life. Learn from it. Nobody can do that for you. The Buddhas, the ancestors, they don't reach here. They may have supported by promoting practice for, you know, 2,500 years or 5,000 years, depending on when you really look at the roots of meditation or this way. But really, the living Zen, the living Buddhism, is right here. And what's even more important is that it really comes down to the individual, how you really do that. Now, you may need support, you may give support. All of those things occur during session. But don't lose an opportunity. Everything's an opportunity. There's never a time or place where the teaching doesn't occur. Look at how things are. Look at the wisdom of nature around you. You know? Feel, experience. Emotionally, if you're going through strong emotions, is that really learn from that. Don't try and be somewhere else in your own head. If you're feeling really angry, just really be that. Learn from it. Feel it. See how the body deals with it. And in time, what happens is you can be the container of all kinds of emotions and arisings in one's own mind. When you can do that, then you can also help others. If you can, again, sit still in the midst of it, learn from it. You can do the same when that is being brought to you by other people. You know, there's never a place where that practice doesn't occur. This is the transformation in Buddhism. This is known as the tantric path. Is that it cannot be another way. So if it's there, learn from it. I'm not saying conjure these things up in your head, but whatever so-called realm that you're in, that's the place to practice. And then in time you'll see that the human being, it's not good English, but the human being, is the field of practice. Every aspect of that is there. The Buddha was that way too. Don't think that he was just some guy that was smiling all the time and giving out candy, if you're mistaken for Hote, you know. No, he was a human being like us. You know? I mean, I don't think any of us have had our cousin try and kill us four times. Or maybe you have, you know, I don't know. And then his country was destroyed by his mother's country. You know, he had to live through a lot of things. We don't know a lot of the content of his own life, but one way or another, he continued to practice. Why did he do that? You know, again, as if you find out that for yourself, then it becomes a lot easier. You can't help but practice. Some people will come back to the center and say, "Well, I've not been practicing for 10 years." And I'll say, "Well, what were you practicing?" You know, and they think I'm joking. But we practice something. That's what we do as human beings. If it's avoidance, you know, looking somewhere else while we should be there, or we're practicing something that's come up in our heads and we decide to go down that angle, that's still practice. Now, what we regard as, say, true practice in the Zen school is the practice of thusness. Just coming back to, say, the precepts. Will you maintain this? Yes. I'll maintain it. And then, again, it's just through practice as you become like Shinko. No? 30 or 40 years old. You know, what does that mean? It doesn't mean an awful lot. 40 years of practice, it doesn't mean an awful lot. But the beauty of that doesn't mean a lot. It means that this can fill the entire space. Doesn't mean I have to be a 30 or 40 or a 20 or a 10 year practitioner. It means that this is enough. This moment in time is enough. Isn't that nice? See, if your mind wants something else, you can't be satisfied. But if you can see the depth and breadth in this, you know, Master Gute used to raise his finger when anybody asked him a question about Zen. He would just do that. Maybe he just did that. Yeah. But there's many ways that he could do that, something with his finger, you know. Yeah. You know, many different things. How do you exhaust this? I can agree with him. I've never been able to exhaust this in 40-some years. No matter what I do, there's always something. There's always a vastness that's here. There's always something new that comes in. I mean, some people just get bored with sitting. But just look at the depth of one's own mind. Look at the fact that you can't hold on to a state of mind. Just look at the fact that I'm sure that a lot of you had expectations about how this session would be up to this first day. Have those expectations been met? Yeah, it's the same for me. I never know what's going to happen during session in terms of life itself. It's not like I'm going to get the same old bottle of wine, you know, and it's going to taste the same on each one. All the ingredients are different here, you know. Rejoice in those ingredients. Learn from them. And then know your own pace. Again, there's no one saying that you should practice at a certain pace in this. Look at what you need to do as a human being for these 4 days. And then make sure that you do that. There's nothing in terms of the form that is going to stop that. You know, the container is to be able to put together, say, in this case, 20 people, and be able to hold the energies of these 20 people in the different ways that we practice. If you want to be at peace, practice it. If you want to see deeply into your own nature, you practice it. If you want to be present, and that's your emphasis, really do that. If you want to be still in yourself, do that. If you want to really befriend yourself thoroughly, then do that. You know, encompass and be part of that container, and it will hold all of those energies. If you get upset by things, the session will support those energies. If you're sad, the session will support those energies. Now, this is a very powerful vehicle. But again, it just depends on how much you can really be present to it. You know, and then have that presence flow into the next activity. There's no activity which is of less value in session. It's supposed that it's designed in a way that what you learn on the cushion, then you put into work or eating. Or resting, or as soon as you leave, into driving, into going back to the family and kids, into your work. So eventually, seamlessly, your life flows. There's nothing that's stopping you from really being, experiencing this world. You know, you may have heard it from people of other traditions, and they really cream their jeans about sitting. You know, but are they sitting right there? You know, some talk about chanting, some talk about forms, some talk about scholarly words. But if you're not doing those things, you're missing out on the very teachings of the Buddha that are occurring wherever you stand, talking with your kids, disciplining your kids, enjoying a concert, the great teachings that occur there. It's not always an objective awareness that is being appreciated. So a lot of people talk about I am being mindful of something else. There's something that's deeper that also occurs in session, which is what we call mindlessness, not mindfulness. Mindlessness is the next step after shamatha in the Theravada tradition, which is to lose oneself in doing something. And that's a beautiful thing. Not just to stand back and objectively look and hold a state of mind, but be whatever it is that you're doing. It's like if you're playing football, is if you're trying to work it out and objectively look at what's there, the ball's lost. They probably scored. But if you go into it and you just do it and you're directly responsive, be your environment, be whatever's going on there, you know, then great results come from that kind of thing. I remember watching my son playing basketball, and he's running with the ball off to the basket, and I'm like this. You know, oops, sorry. But it's that absorption, you know, that absorption when you're really in something, chopping the vegetables, you know, really being your a sunset, you know, all of these things. Just really immerse yourself in it. No other time, no other place. And then this is the power of session. That's, you know, basically what it means, you know, to bring together the energies, all of your energies, have, leave nothing left out. Even if it's that commentator in the mind that's going on, put that energy in, it's all energy, bring it back to this point. And then, again, is that your individual intensity, or jōriki, will really develop. And that energy will be available to you in many different spheres of activity. I think what I'll do is, I said I wouldn't open it for questions, but I do just want to get a bit of feedback about where you're coming from, and then for the other talks I probably won't do this. So if there's anything that you'd like to ask, please do. And if not, then we'll finish in a couple of minutes.
I came here with questions, but you've already answered them.
All right. But so, you know, one of the main things is don't try and cognitively work this out. Let your body do it. You know, that's a deeper learning. So that's probably shut everybody up now. Okay, let's finish.